December 7th. First, I offer my unlimited obeisances in the dust of the lotus feet of my most worshipable Diksha Gurudev. Nichalila Pravishta Om Vishnu Pai, Astodhara Satishi Shiman, Srila Bhakti Vedanta Swami Prabhupada, and the same unlimited obeisances in the dust of the lotus feet of my most worshipful Shiksha Gurudev. Om Vishnu Pad Astotara Satishi Shimai Srila Bhakti Vedanta Narayan Goswami Maharaj. To all of our disciplic succession and all the assembled devotees. We're completing today, hopefully, our discussion of Chapter 20 of Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur's Sri Jaiva Dharma called Abhideya, which means the process to attain perfection, and that process is Shuddha Bhakti and the limbs of Shuddha Bhakti. Abhideya, Vaidhi, Sadhana Bhakti. Vaidhi Sadhana means those activities performed for the sake of attaining Bhav, but without the greed of the subject that we'll be discussing starting tomorrow, which is called Abhideya Raghunuga Sadhana Bhakti. It's impelled by scriptural injunctions, rules and regulations, and a sense of duty, rather than a yearning to, which is called Lalasa Mayi. It's a great yearning to be instated in the personal service of the Lord. Anything, any questions on what I said so far? Okay. So we're discussing the 64 limbs of Shuddha Bhakti. Vasudev Prabhu, can you come over for a second after class? And Vijay Kumar and his nephew, Brajanath, are asking questions to the Venerable Raghunath Das Babaji Mahasaya, who is a Rupa Nuga Bhakta. Now he's asking, about each individual limb for further explanation. You said that we're not supposed to associate with someone who's averse to Krishna. We should give up their association. Could you explain more in detail about that? So Babaji Mahasaya says that when one has Bhava Bhakti, he has no material desires, at which time he can associate with anyone and not be affected. Until that time comes, he has to be very careful about his association. And Vijay Kumar asks, well, who exactly are those people who are averse to Krishna? And Babaji Mahasaya says there are four kinds of people averse to Krishna. One is called the Vishayi, people who are attached to sense gratification. The other, second, people who are Stri Sangi, which is those who are attached to the association of the opposite sex. Third, those who are polluted by Mayavad philosophy, ultimately thinking that God is not a person, and challenging or rejecting the personal form of the Lord as non-existent. And also those whose hearts are polluted by atheism, which comes to just about the same thing, atheism and Mayavada. There's two kinds of impersonalists. One is called Mayavada, and they're like the followers of Sankaracharya, and they're all demons like Ravana and others who deny the personal existence of the Lord and want to become God themselves, the impersonal God. And the second is called the Brahmavadis or Nirgunvadis, who worship Nirgun Krishna, Krishna without qualities, just because they don't know about the personal feature of the Lord. They don't deny the personal feature, they just don't know anything about it. So these kind of people, when they meet a pure devotee, they can easily become a bhakta, because they're not offensive. And then the fourth is those who are entangled in karma. Then he's asking, what does it mean not to disrespect the demigods? Does this mean we should worship them? So Babaji Mahasaya says that one who wants to become a bhakta, he only and exclusively worships the root of all devatas, all demigods, that is Krishna. One should not worship any of the demigods thinking that they're independent gods. But at the same time, one should not disrespect either the demigods, because they're all devotees of Krishna, or those who worship the demigods. Because it may be by that, it may be that by the mercy of that particular demigod, that demigod will gradually guide that his follower to the path of bhakti, to the pure devotee. Like, for example, Gop Kumar was worshipping, what's her name? The wife of Lord Shiva, but a particular name. Not Sati. Well, it's another name for Parvati. I just forget what it is just now. But Parvati appeared in his dream one day and gave him the Gopal mantra. She didn't explain it, but she gave it to him and told him to chant it, and he was chanting it ever since. And even without understanding it, his material desires were going away. And then Lord Shiva, her husband, appeared to him in a dream when he was associating with impersonalists, and he said, leave this place at once and go to this next place. And Parvati also appeared to him again. So they're pure devotees, but they don't want to be worshipped separately as separate gods. They want to be honored as servants of Krishna. In Bhubaneswar, near Puri, there's a temple of Lord Shiva and Durga, and the pujaris of the Jagannath temple take the prasadam of Lord Jagannath and then bring them to those temples. That pleases the devotees. Then he's asking, and we just touched on this yesterday as well, to explain further not giving anxiety to any living entity. Even if the mind is like bursting, I've got to give them anxiety. because I'm an anxiety. And the only way I'm going to get out of anxiety is to give them anxiety. So the mind may be like a locomotive trying to push forward those thoughts. My only protection is to remember the words of Babaji Mohasaya and all the great sages and their instructions in this matter, including Krishna. In Bhagavad Gita, he's giving 18 principles of knowledge. He said anything outside these 18 principles of knowledge is ignorance. And one of the principles of knowledge is not to give anxiety to any living entity by one's body, mind, and words. Same as here. Because Krishna becomes pleased when one is compassionate. Particularly compassionate to help others become Krishna conscious. Then he's asking, well, you said that we're supposed to abandon offenses in devotional service, seva aparadha. Could you expand on this a little bit? So he said there are 32, he replied, there are 32 offenses in deity worship, and there's 10 offenses in worshiping the holy name, or chanting the holy name. And some of these include entering the temple with shoes on, blaspheming pure devotees, disrespecting guru, and there are many more that he'll be discussing in just a moment. Because he's explaining that the first 20 out of the 64 items, 64 limbs of bhakti, are the most important. From 21 to 50, those 30 are mostly in relation to, and they're all included in the 20. All the others are included in the 20. But then why talk about it separately? For clearer understanding, so that one could break down the 20 to understand them more in detail, so the next 30 are given. And the next 30 are basically in relation to deity worship, deity service, and nam service. Number 50, which is the last of the 30, is that whatever one's dearmost possession is, he should offer that to the Lord. So now he's reviewing, though he gave it before, he's reviewing those 30 items, starting from 21, that are in relation to the deities. Accepting the symbols of the Vaishnava on one's body, like tilak. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that one's forehead that is not decorated with tilak, his head is like a crematorium. He's just like a dead body although breathing. And tulsi around the neck. Three strands, Gurudev said, preferably separate strands, not one long thing that you wrap three times. So that we remember, and so that it enters us, because the tulsi beads themselves are very powerful for freeing one from anxiety, the disturbances of the mind, and health problems as well. Srila Gurudev explained in Malaysia. So the three strands means that I'm being embedded with, as the tulsi beads touch my neck and go into my throat and down into my heart. Serving Krishna with body, mind, and words, and for separating the three energies, spiritual, marginal, and material. Not getting one confused with the other. Accepting the deity's remnants and not taking anything but the deity's remnants. Gurudev said on a couple of occasions that even drinking water that's not offered, and drinking urine. Then dancing before the deity, offering obeisances to the deity, standing up when the one sees the deity, following behind the deity in procession. It's like, are we going to do that tomorrow? Is tomorrow Ekadasi or the next day?
Day after tomorrow.
Day after tomorrow. So hopefully Shonika Prabhu can arrange that. Performing puja of the murti of the deity. And then others, he said, there's no need to explain them. But even though they're part of the previous, they're given separately, just to make a detail. Singing, congregational chanting, and in fact, Babaji Mahasaya says that Nam Sankirtan is not only necessarily congregational kirtan, but it's also kirtan alone. Like I see many of you chanting, singing alone. That's also sankirtan, even though san is a lot of times translated as congregational. But Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur says that sankirtan means sarva bhavena kirtan. Ena means with. Whenever you see a word that ends with ena, that means with. So with all bhavs, kirtan with all bhavs, and if bhavs are attained, it means that automatically there's no anarthas. So kirtan free from anarthas and with bhav is real sankirtan. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, Param Bijayate Sri Krishna Sankirtan. It's this kind of kirtan that's Param Bijayate. All glories to that Sankirtan. Humbly expressing one's mind. Vigyati. Humble entreaties. Expressing my own mind. And then chanting hymns and prayers from our acharyas, reciting slokas to glorify Krishna, tasting with devotion, just like we go and taste the charanamrita that's offered to Thakurji. And then if I'm just doing it for the taste, or it's my duty, that's not what it says here, so then I just pray, please give me the devotion to taste it with, so that I can actually taste the nectar of their lotus feet, which is their the reason that they created me in the first place. Touching the deity, taking darshan of the deity, experiencing, this is an interesting one, they're all interesting, experiencing the deity's mercy everywhere and in all circumstances. I guess that's pretty similar to when we read the list of 64 before. Anticipating, always anticipating the deity's mercy. So here, experiencing the mercy, that is, whenever anything happens, how do I see it? Ta-te-nu-kong-pong, is Vasanti here? She could sing it. Can anybody sing it? Want to sing it with me? Ta-te-nu-kong-pong, shushumik-shamanam, Punjana evadna kritam vipakam Ridvadva purbir vidadana maste Jiveta jo mukti pade sadayava. And Raghavata will tell us what it means. Devi Dasi. Loud.
One translation I know is, those who clearly perceive your mercy.
Can you hear Anupam? Okay. Louder? Maybe you could turn a bit to them.
Those who clearly perceive your mercy at every moment with great enthusiasm are able to endure with uninterrupted minds the happiness and distress which comes to them in accordance with their Prarabdha karma. With hearts filled with love, voice choked with emotion, and the hairs of their bodies standing on end, offer themselves unto your lotus feet. Just as a son becomes eligible for the wealth of the father, they become eligible for the supreme spiritual status, Paramapada, Bhagavad Prem.
Thank you, that's beautiful. The best translation I ever heard. Do you remember where you found it? I've seen shorter versions, but not so beautiful.
It was when I was in the Badger School.
Oh. Oh, okay. Very nice. So experiencing everything is Krishna's mercy. Su sumikshamanam, she said. That means considering very carefully, why is this thing happening? Su means very nice. Considering very carefully why this is happening. That it's not, of course it's my karma, as Raghavata stated, it's due to one's Prarabdha Karma. Prarabdha Karma means I've done stuff in the past and now I'm tasting it. This body is made of Prarabdha Karma, or what I have to taste now. And then there's Aparabdha Karma, which I'll get in future bodies. I've already done stuff and they're just waiting in future bodies. So why are these things happening? Of course it's karma, but a higher conception is that Krishna wants to teach me something. Krishna is just giving me a summary punishment of what I deserve, so that I'll become humble, so that I'll not do any bad things again. And he wants me to remember him and consider that it's his mercy, and be absorbed in him. No need to worry about the thing. To increase my enthusiasm if some bad thing comes. Contemplating Krishna's name, fame, form, pastimes, it's easier to see everything as his mercy if we're already contemplating him. If I'm contemplating sense gratification, which always leads to distress, and then distress comes. It's hard to pick myself up out of that and think of Krishna and take it as Krishna's mercy. In fact, the word is, the next, that's 45 and 46, is, first one is contemplating, and the second means thinking about it. What's the name like? What's the pastimes? What are some pastimes? And then the next one, 46, is thoroughly meditating upon them. And in fact, thoroughly meditating on them to the point of doing what's called manasi seva, which is for an advanced state. That is, I can already envision in my heart my internal spiritually conceived body. And with that body in trance, I'm actually engaged in serving the divine couple in various services. Then he's asking, oh, this is still more numbers. There are two kinds of servitorship. One is offering the results of one's activities, and one is directly serving. Like, for example, I'll grow a rose. And in the meantime, while I'm growing the rose, I'm absorbed in the rose. So soft, and it smells so good, and the earth feels so good, and the earth feels soft, and the earth itself is very fragrant. And after the rose grows, I'll offer the result to Krishna. That's one kind, and the other kind is more direct. Everything I'm doing is for Krishna. And everything reminds me of Krishna. Now, very important, the significance of the word Atmanivedana comes from Atma, and the Atma as it is now, there's two principles of false egoism. One is I am this body, and the second is everything in relation to this body is mine. So when that egoism is transferred to Krishna, then it becomes I am Krishna's. Everything belongs to him, including me. My mind also belongs to him, so I don't have any thinking, no need to think anything separate. I just think of him because my mind belongs to him. I belong to him. Then he wants a little more explanation on that, Vijay Kumar. So he's asking, can you explain these two terms further? The conception that's in the embodied jiva, that I am this body and everything in relation to this body is mine. Aham mameti. I am this body, everything in relation to this body is mine. So Babaji Mahasaya explains. Acting with the false conception of I and the consciousness of possessing the body, I own this body. Again, remembering Kapiladeva, he said, anybody who has a conception that there's a difference between me and you, and therefore I should get out of you whatever I can, because you're for me, and I'm this body, you're for my body, you're meant for my body. These are the two illusory conceptions. So Atmanivedanam means to relinquish this conception of separatism between myself and another, and separatism between myself and God or Krishna. I'm not separate from him. I am his energy, just like that was my energy. It's totally not separate from me. How do I cultivate that? Thinking, 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 and acting, acting, acting. Forcing the mind and body. Okay, I want something for myself. So instead of getting the thing for myself, I get the thing for the other person in the room as a practice. Like lifting weights. You lift your 5 pounds and you got that, and you lift your 10 pounds. Gradually you get more and more muscles. So thinking, 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 remembering the various places in the scriptures that discuss it. Then he's asking, how do we offer things to the deities that are dear to us? What does that mean? Well, he says accepting the things of the world that are very pleasing to us. Offer them first to Krishna. And this is a statement by Srila Rupa Goswami. Whatever is pleasing to my senses, I offer it first to Krishna and I take the thing as his remnant. Like food, for example. Or I suppose I get praise. Praise is always very pleasing to the conditioned jiva. So then I offer that as well. Well, this praise is not mine, the praise goes to my guru. If anything is right that I said, then the credit goes to him because this is his knowledge. It's not my knowledge because I haven't realized it. He's realized it, so it's his. So I give him the credit, like a viceroy goes all around the world collecting things for the king, and he doesn't claim a penny, but he collects a big treasury for the king. If he takes anything, he'll get fired. And then Vijay Kumar asks, what does it mean to perform all activities for Krishna's sake? Babaji Mahasaya replies, there's two kinds of activities. There's just plain old material activities, and then there's regulated activities in devotional service. The material activities should also be done for Krishna's sake. Can anybody think of an example? I'm dressing. I'm getting dressed. Do that for Krishna's sake. How do we get dressed? This time I'm not going to answer it. Can you answer? How do I get dressed for Krishna's sake? Take your day. What does it mean to get dressed for Krishna's sake? To eat for Krishna's sake. To sleep for Krishna's sake. To walk for Krishna's sake. These are all material activities. Huh?
So that you can be in good health, for example?
So you can, I'm going to sleep so I can be in good health, get up early tomorrow, go to Mangalarti, serve Thakurji, serve the Vaishnavas, do something to spread the glories of my Gurudev and his Guru Parampara. Dressing?
Put on a sari and tilak.
Huh?
Put on a sari and tilak.
Well, everybody in India does that, puts on a sari. Half the country at least. So why am I putting on this one? To remind me that I'm Krishna's servant. So I'll be very neat and clean because people may come to the temple or I may go out and I want to distribute something to the people so that I'm not a disturbance to Vaishnavas who have to look at me. All in relation to, just think. Why am I eating yummy, yummy? Or why am I eating? I'm eating so that I can pray to this prasada to please manifest as prasada, as the pastimes of the Lord. So many ways that we can think of. So now it's 4:15. Let's see if there's anything. Oh, we wanted to finish, didn't we, today? A few more pages. I'll try to go through it quickly. What does it mean to study Srimad Bhagavatam in the guidance of a rasik bhakta? Babaji Mahasaya replied, if you're studying with an ordinary person, it won't help you in bhakti. If you want actually pure bhakti, then you have to study it with a pure bhakta, somebody who's tasting the various rasas. Somebody who's in the pastimes of Krishna. What does it mean to take shelter of Krishna? Babaji Mahasaya replies, to think, O Krishna, I am yours. And just keep thinking. And adding the prayers from the song books, different prayer books, to expand on that thought. And then it's like taking the rope on the rock, back and forth, I'm yours, I'm yours, I'm yours, and gradually the rope makes an impression. But by our own endeavor, we can't get the result. When Guru and Vaishnavas see that we're trying very hard, then they bestow the result. They bestow the actual conviction that I am yours. It's not that the endeavor does it, but without the endeavor, how are they going to see that we really want it? And then Vijaya Kumar asks, what does it mean to worship Tulsi? So Babaji Mahasaya explains, to circumambulate her, to water her, to remember her, to glorify her, to touch her, to honor her as remnants of Krishna's prasadam, planting her, daily worship of her. What does it mean to serve the Vaishnavas? Babaji Mahasaya replied, quoting one reference, in the discussion of Lord Shiva and Parvati. The best worship is the worship of Vishnu, but even greater than the worship of Vishnu is to worship those personalities and things in relation to Vishnu. Does anybody know that verse? I forget all the lines. Tadiyanam Samacharam is the last one. Tadiya means things in relation to Vishnu. Vishnu Aradhanam Param. The best worship is worship of Vishnu. And superior to that is Tadiya. Tadiyanam Samacharam. Offering everything to those in relation to Vishnu. So we're just about at the end of the chapter. Then he's concluding. Just, all right, whatever else you want to tell us, just that we didn't ask, if you can kindly tell us that. Sometimes, intermediate fruits are described and offered to those who are materialistic and impious to encourage them to take to bhakti. Like, if you do bhakti, then what? What's an intermediate fruit?
All your problems
will go away, right. But actually, the real fruit of bhakti is just developing love of Krishna. The main fruit of all the angas means limbs, is to develop attachment for Krishna. The gopis in the last verse of Gopi Geet address Krishna as anga. Why? Because they feel so Krishna, so close to him, that they just thinking that Krishna is theirs. Krishna is like their body, part of their body. And if anything is wrong with any part of one's body, all of my attention goes there, because I think it's me. So they're so worried that Krishna's roaming through the forest at night, barefooted on the stones and stone chips and sharp edges of grains, that they feel like all those sharp items are piercing their heart, and they're just about to die feeling Krishna's pain, which he doesn't feel. We'll be discussing that as we develop into Gopi Geet. He said all intermediary fruits everything comes as a byproduct of bhakti. All the qualities, which are not necessarily bhakti, sense control, austerity, outward purity, they're not bhakti, but they automatically follow the bhakti. They take shelter of the bhakti. He said, so now I've told you about Vaidhi Bhakti in a very brief way. Now you should take it to heart and practice it with full force. So Brajanath and Vijay Kumar, after they heard these instructions from Babaji Mahasaya, they offered their full satsang dandavat pranam. And they prayed, they begged, with heart-throbbing sentiments and voice, O Prabhu, O Master, please deliver us. We're trapped in the deep trench of Maya. So Babaji Mahasaya replied, very soon, certainly, Krishna will get you out of Maya. And then that faith in the Guru's instructions Yes, my Gurudev said Krishna will surely get me out of Maya soon. And that gratitude and anticipation of mercy, that makes one advance very quick. So if one follows these, particularly the last five, and at the same time avoids offenses, not just follows the five and commits offenses. Following the five, Lilavati, what are the five, the last five angas of bhakti, 60 to 64, loud?
Worshipping the deities with devotion.
Can you turn to face the people? So anyone who practices especially these five, all but especially these five, and all of the others are included in these five, just they're separated so we can see those five in detail, and avoids all affection, he attains Bhav Bhakti very quickly. So if we're not attaining it very quickly, we know why. So tomorrow we'll begin Raganuga Sadhana Bhakti. And are there any questions? And if not, we'll do a little bit of Gopi Ghee. Looks like you'd rather hear Gopi Ghee. Okay. So the gopis are singing. Dikshustavakam. We're your maidservants. And this conception of yours, you've accepted us as yours, but at the same time, you haven't seen us. There's two meanings. The general meaning of the verse is that, O most beloved, your birth in the land of Vrindavan has made it more glorious than heaven and even Vaikuntha and all the other planets. And for this reason, the goddess of fortune, Lakshmi, eternally resides here. O beloved, in this blissful land of grudge, we, your beloveds, who maintain our lives only for your sake, are now extremely anguished in separation from you, and we're wandering here and there in the forest. Therefore, please appear before us now. So the word is drishyatam, seeing. One meaning is that we want to see you. We must see you, otherwise we'll die. And the other meaning is, you should see us right now. Otherwise, we'll die. So what's the difference? In one of them is the right-wing gopis, like Chandravali. We want to see you. Of course, that also has deeper meaning. But you should see us means you've never seen such beautiful gopis as us. So sweet, fragrant, lovely, all good qualities. Witty more than you. So right now, right at this moment, we're in the prime of the best, most perfect moment of our life in terms of like a teenager. And then Krishna, who's appearing in their hearts due to their full absorption in him, feeling in separation from him as they wander in search for him in the forest. They're so deeply absorbed in meditation that they actually experience him in their hearts. And then he's actually speaking with them. And he says to them, why do you want to see me now? Why can't I come tomorrow? And the gopi, or some other time. So the gopis say, not in the verse, but their mood, with their moods they're saying, no. We're in the very best most beautiful time of our life right now. Our youth may disappear at any moment. And then you, Krishna, won't have your eyes be successful. You may remember in the Venu Geet, in the 7th verse, the gopis pray, Akshan Bhatam Palamidam Napadam Bidama Sakya Pashun Anunive Sayatur Vayasyai Vakram Burje Sasutayor Anuvenu Justam Yarva Nipitam Anurakshakatakshya Moksham. For those who have eyes, the perfection of the eyes is to see Radha and Krishna glancing at each other and also affectionately glancing at their devotees. But the gopis are saying to Krishna, another deeper meaning is that here in the Gopi Geet, the gopis are saying to Krishna, the perfection of your eyes and thus the perfection of your life is if you can see us right now. Nowhere will you find such happiness. And if you do get to see us right now, then you'll be overwhelmed and think, oh, I've never seen such an amazing sight. And your life will be successful, and you'll feel that your life is successful. Now, they give a different meaning of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur's song, which is what you sing from your songbook. It's in the Sri Radha Krishna Pada Kamale Man. In that song, the sadhak is praying, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur is praying on our behalf. My life is passing so quickly. I'm absorbed in material pursuits. My life is passing so quickly. There are waves in the material existence, and all those waves are rolling towards the ocean. So the waves of my life are very quickly rolling towards death. And every moment spent imperceptibly in sense gratification cannot be bought back by millions of dollars. So Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, his deeper meaning of that song, he's taking the side of the gopis and saying that our youth may end at any moment. So you should come and see us right now. Otherwise your life cannot be successful wherever you are. So we'll end here and ask if there's any questions or comments. And then in a moment it's time for Arati. Okay, Sri Sri Radha Gopinath ki jai, Sri Sachinandan Gaura Hari ki jai, Sri Giriraj Govardhan ki jai, Sri Jaiva Dharma ki jai, Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srila Gurudev ki jai, Sri Sandhya Arati ki jai, Gaur Premanandi Hari Hari Bol. So tomorrow we'll learn how to be Raghunuga Bhakti. Everything going with the painting.
I need some canvas and pictures. I can show you some room. Last time I showed you this,
huh?
You told me just move some little paint, bookmark, more.
Yeah.
It's enough.
And also, I have a funny kind of question.
Okay.
You know that brush you gave me?
The brush?
You know, that magic brush?
Oh, yes.
It's really amazing. Get rid of all pain. And I did it on Vaijayanti Maladevi today. Yeah. And she said, where did you get this? So where did you get it?
From Delhi. Delhi. I can buy it because I want to go next week to Delhi.
Okay, all right. She wants to know how much is it. She wants one. She'll give you the money.
Yes, so they're writing 300 rupees. I gave 150 something for this.
It's 150?
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
I'll tell her. It's really... Yeah. Just a few days ago, I had this tremendous eye pain and headache. I couldn't even think or go on the computer. And I just did it for 5 minutes and it made me feel better.
Which side? Both sides?
At both sides.
Oh.
I mean, the brush side and the little bump side.